Welcome to the jungle. Yeah, 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 yeah. The rare Thursday. Decca, yeah. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Will Brinson coming up at 40 past. Yeah. Seth Curry next hour. We already had Torrey Holt, College Football Hall of Famer, and he is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Starting off hour number two with some quick reaction. My thoughts on Jimmy Butler in 1 minute. SoCal Jeff. Jeff in SoCal tweets, I love old Van Smack audio. Dude's a savage. It's still fun. It's always going to be fun, but those were good times, right? I've got some more audio to reset. It's a story to reset. A story about Seth Greenberg and I and how we met, how we came together. And also, it was something like that. It was because I was taking a run at them. And that's how he and I became friends. I'm going to reset that for you next segment. You're right, though, Jeff. Old Van Smack audio. Come on, man. I'm still a savage. Just in a different way. Dear Jim, Jarrah and Big Mac make a great team. They're both out of touch. They're in poor health. And they're hopelessly chasing past successes. Yours, the cast of The Irishman. Signed, Brett from Bugahaw. In my jungle prime. War the Vikes money line. All right, quickly. To me, Mike McCarthy, I think it's still to be determined whether or not he has changed, whether or not he is rejuvenated. I'm sure he's that. He had time off. Whether or not he's innovative, whether or not he's changed, whether he's different. I don't think he's out of touch. Jarrah, I'm having trouble following this guy, honestly. Whenever he says something, it's like, wait, what? I'm having trouble following him. I wouldn't go as far as to say that Jarrah is out of touch. Man, but some of the stuff that he says is out there. That whole thing about his sister's divorce. Like, how did I know? How did I know that Mike McCarthy, this is such a critical hire. How do I know that he's the right guy? Because I heard bells. Now, what does that mean? My sister was getting divorced. My dad loved the guy that she was married to. And so, what are you doing? What are you doing? And her response was, I don't hear bells. Oh, no wonder you hired McCarthy. No wonder the two of you are hugging it out at that sleepover. And again, I'm not sure why Tom Thibodeau was there. He warred the Vikes on the money line. That's a big number. I saw that number. Isn't it like minus 430 or something? I don't know. I got to check with my guru, James, Flight Deck, Kelly. You know, if you bet something on the money line and it's minus 430, you got to bet 430 to make $100. It's a pretty big swing, right? You like that bet? You like that? You like that bet? Dear Jim, the best fake caller is fake Silk. Joe Palmieri is the hot dog king of Maine. Come on! Signed, Tom in Baltimore. Anxiously waiting for the Flight Deck's picks tomorrow. All right, so I asked the question. Who's the better fake caller, the fake John or the fake Matt? And his response was, the fake Silk. I can make an argument for any of the above. Fake John, fake Matt, fake Silk. I can make an argument for any of the above. Fake Silk came first, so you got to give this guy credit. Joe Palmieri, he's the hot dog king of Maine. Come on!
My man, Silk. How you feeling today, kid?
Hey, bro. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Silk?
I'm doing good. Hey, I just wanted to say before we get this thing going, I called Joe Palmieri a stud. He's the hot dog king of Maine.
Come on! That's not a good call. No. I don't know. In terms of nostalgia, I'm feeling this guy.
Pretending to be Silk.
Here's our first haiku. Haiku used to be a big thing on the program. This guy slugs it 2020 haiku time. To Mike, from Jerry, with love. Please stay the night here. My sister is divorced, Mike. Ding dong, ding dong, ding. Mix in Palm Springs. And finally, Rome. I didn't hear a bell, but somehow Billy just ended up in the house anyway. signed the homeowner who had his house destroyed by Billy Joel. I don't get it. Imagine just being there minding your own business. And some dude jumps a curb and drives his car through your house. And not just some dude, but Billy Joel. Be like, damn. Like, I'm pretty sure that for the rest of my life, I will be sitting in my home and never have to worry about John Mellencamp jumping a curb and driving through my living room. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Neil Young will never drive into my family room. I mean, come on, Joel, really? It's not that joke about either. Drunk driving. I mean, that house just came out of nowhere. Who's the idiot who put a house right there? 1-800-636-8686. Check out the money line. Let's see. Niners are minus 300. Oh, the Vikings. The Vikings are plus 250. All right, so on the money line, if you bet the Vikings at plus 250, 100 bucks gets you 250 bucks if the Vikings win that game. If you think Minnesota can go to Frisco and beat the Niners, and I don't think they can. I just said it. I don't think they can. They're not going to beat the 49ers. The other question is, though, can they stay within seven? If you're into that sort of thing, the Niners are minus 300. So you've got to bet 300 bucks to make 100 bucks on the money line. You get your 300 bucks back, but do you like that bet? Do you want to risk 300 bucks to make 100 bucks? I mean, it's kind of an interesting conversation. What would you rather do? Would you rather spend 100 bucks on the Vikings with the chance to make 250? Or do you think it's a better bet to spend 300, if you have that kind of money, on the Niners to make 100? The bridge jumping. You have your phone number. All right, so it's been a minute or so since Jimmy Butler has been a topic on this show, which makes me a little bit sad. But Jimmy Butler is a topic on the show today because of what went down last night. Miami v. Indiana was not about Heat v. Pacers. Instead, it was about Jimmy Butler v. T.J. Warren. Now, if I'm being honest, before last night, I really didn't know that Jimmy Butler and T.J. Warren was a thing. But it's definitely a thing right now. In the third quarter of last night's game, Butler had the ball, and then, well, yeah, what the hell? Just go ahead and roll it.
When this is a rare, oh, there's some words between Butler and Warren. They have to be separated.
It wasn't just words. This was about to be more than this. This was going to be more than that. I don't think, I mean, the officials will probably look at it. They got to calm TJ down. Both of them got to calm down. And the officials will take a look at it.
Yeah, you tell Jimmy Butler to calm down. Yeah, good luck with that. Now, that was a hardish foul, but certainly not the hardest foul ever. I mean, far from it. But Butler did not like it at all, especially that part where Warren grabbed him by the arm and spun him around. And then Butler got right into Warren. They were separated, but that did not stop them from bumping their gums and jawing at each other. There were a lot of obscenities and a great camera shot of Butler yelling, quote, "You're bleeping trash," at Warren. "You're bleeping trash." He was also yelling, "I'm tough." And then Warren appeared to gesture that they should just take it outside. You know, step outside, which is pretty awesome. Well, awesome if you enjoy two supremely conditioned world-class athletes and alphas threatening to give each other the hands in front of nearly 20,000. Or even if they didn't do that, but instead met in the tunnel leading back to the locker room or on the loading dock in their streets. I mean, now we're getting somewhere, right? Except never came to that. Instead, we had double T's, which were handed out, and then it looked like cooler heads were going to prevail. Luckily, that's not what happened. Not at all. In fact, not even for a second. It didn't last a second before it sparked up once again, because one play later, this is what happened.
And Warren right back on Butler. Oh, Jimmy. Put a shoulder into the chest of Warren, and then Warren just got himself tossed out of the game for taunting. Well, neither player showing much in the way of poise right there. Oh, my.
Well, what's going to happen?
I don't know if you saw that on TV or not, but T.J. Warren, that is a no-no, my friend.
And that's why Warren's going to be tossed right now. This is his second technical foul. This is why it's so important that they call those first technical fouls. They have no toleration at all. And T.J. Warren, who's the leading scorer for the Indiana Pacers.
I like that part about how neither player is, quote, showing much poise. Yeah, but they're both showing a lot of awesome. Just to recap the visuals on that, Warren draws an offensive foul on Butler and then immediately starts to clap in Jimmy's ears. He gets tossed for that, but he's still jawing with Jimmy. And then Butler starts blowing kisses to him to say goodbye. And then as he's leaving, Warren flips him off, lobs him the board or the bird, which is outstanding. Like, excellent work all the way around. Because it's not like the Pacers and Heat are traditional rivals. It's not like we give a damn about that matchup. I mean, sure, back in the day when Roy Hibbert and Paul George were taking on the Heatles, there may have been some fire back then. But that had long ago since gone out. So we don't have that anymore. Not when guys are getting into it, though, on the court. Now we've got guys yelling at each other, clapping in each other's ears, blowing each other kisses, flipping each other off, and calling each other bleeping trash, and calling each other out to take it outside. And even then, it wasn't done, because Butler had thoughts after the game, and those thoughts were incredible. Initially, it sounded like he might be somewhat sympathetic towards Warren.
To me, I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's something you just don't say as a man. And, he got to see me the next time, because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful. And it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So, you know, he talking about, oh, we're going to fight this, that. It is what it is to me.
And then what did you notice, the middle finger from him, and was the blowing of the kiss?
He's not even in the league, like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. He's like, no, put somebody else on me, because I'm a test up every time we play. He's trash. Sort of
such gold. Man, that is gold. That is so, so good. Like, what's your favorite part of that whole thing? I ask because I don't even know what mine is. There is so much good stuff in that. There's, quote, he's soft. He's not even in my bleeping league. And then, quote, if I were their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. Like, no, put somebody else on me because I'm going to tear that ass up every time. End quote. And then the closer. When I say that he's trash, I mean that. He's not in my league, and I take it as disrespect if you ever put him on me. End quote. I'm telling you, I have not seen a guy talk about another guy being trash quite like that since Pac-Man Jones destroyed Terrell Pryor in a post-game interview. You remember that. That's the gold standard right there. That's the bar. That's the thing that everybody is measured against. When Pac-Man was asked about a number, or asked a number of questions about Pryor, and kept answering, suck, what else, suck, what else? Then he called him, quote, garbage. And then he grabbed a real trash can, pretended to look for Pryor in the trash can, and yelled, hey, yo, you in there? You in there?
Garbage.
What did that start with for you, Terrell?
Garbage.
Hey, go right there.
Get him out of there. You see him in there?
Oh. Right there.
You better find him somebody to play with.
Is it him saying basically he could...
Garbage.
All right, aside from Terrell, how big is it for you?
Garbage. I ain't talking about nothing else. I'm happy we won.
All right, cool.
Terrell Pryor, garbage.
All right.
Garbage.
My man, Pac. Best trash/garbage angle ever from a pro athlete.
Garbage.
Jimmy Butler was really good last night, but Pac-Man is still the gold standard. Pulled out a trash can as a prop and was looking inside of it for Pryor and kept cutting off the questioner with garbage. But then there was Butler hopping on Instagram after the game, screenshotting Miami's schedule, circling March 20th in Indy, and then chasing that with the caption, at T Warren 1, don't be mad, you can't guard me. We will see what you about in March. End quote. Yeah, we'll see what everyone's about in March. Friday, March 20th, Indy, 7 p.m. Eastern, to quote the great Bartholomew Scott. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
And some of you dopes want to say that the NBA regular season does not matter. Yeah, those games do matter. They matter when Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren are playing. And then they definitely matter when you insult Butler by putting Warren on Butler. And they matter when Butler is calling Warren bleeping trash and blowing kisses at him after Warren flipped him off. My man, never change. Never change, Jimmy. I know you won't, which is awesome. And one more note on this before I go to break. Butler's teammate, James Johnson, is an actual MMA fighter. Like, he's a badass MMA fighter. He's got the nickname Bloodsport. And seriously, he owns an undefeated record in MMA and kickboxing. My man's got a black belt in karate. So my advice to Jay and TJ both, neither one of you, let Bloodsport get involved in this riff. Or it's going to be... It's Nate Diaz. What's up, Nate? I love Nate Diaz. Yo, Nate. I got a message for you, Nate. Love Nate Diaz. Love Nate Diaz. You should run that back to him, too. If you know Nate, say, yo, man, Rome is hyping you up again. Rome is on the air going... Nate's the man. Nobody in the history of the NBA, you know, we always have that conversation about guys will go, guys won't go, guys in the NBA know who will go. Trust me, nobody wants to mess with Bloodsport. Nobody wants to be a part of that guy. Because if you do, hey, really quickly, hit me up on Twitter. Do you want to hear James Kelly and his picks tomorrow before the latest round of the playoffs? Do you want to know? Or not? He might go ballistic, Mav. He makes himself a lot of money. Is he going to make us money? When we come back, I think I want to talk about Seth Greenberg and the podcast. Wait on that. Will Brinson, he's got picks. He's got thoughts on the matchups. We'll have him at 40 past. Say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products that help everybody sleep and live better. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, bedding, and furniture, Casper is transforming the way we sleep. With over 50,000 five-star reviews, it is the most beloved and trusted sleep company anywhere. Don't lose sleep over finding the perfect bed. The four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief all night long. Plus, their zone support has the extra support to keep your back aligned. You need some time to decide? No problem. Just sleep on it. Casper mattresses come with a 100-night risk-free trial. Rest easy with free shipping and free returns. Get the mattress of your dreams just like I did. Go to Casper.com. Use the code name Rome. Get $100 off the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code name Rome, $100 towards the purchase of certain mattresses. Terms and conditions do apply here. See Casper.com/terms. Customer experience and product reviews are based on Casper.com, authorized retail sites, and Google.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Will Brinson is 15 minutes out. Seth Curry is next hour. Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and the bars. Instead, grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Of course, you're going to have to rip it, pry it out of Ike's cold, dead hands. What's up, Mr. President? No, seriously, Old Trapper is tender, it's tasty, it's real beef that rocks your craving for a snack which satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Old man, what's your beef, Ike? I'm looking at you. He's always got a gigantic bag on his desk. I love it. He says teriyaki is his favorite flavor. This email reads, hey, Rome. That is a no-no, my friend. Signed, Mike McCarthy to the waiter when he tries to take his plate away before he licks it clean.
That is a no-no, my friend.
Liam Vancouver. I almost want to say well done. Almost. But Lee, instead I'm going to say, that's a no-no, my friend.
That is a no-no.
Lee, that is a no-no, my friend. We're not talking about personal appearances. Again, I love that McCarthy went up in that gigantic barn he has, which he turned into a football compound, and got multiple unemployed coaches to sit with him Monday through Friday and break tape and reset themselves and talk about what they would do if they got another opportunity, what they would say, how they would approach it, how they would interview, and most importantly, how they would build it. And it worked. McCarthy got another gig, and he got a great gig. So, Lee, from me to you, that is a no-no, my friend.
That is a no-no.
Speculating about what this guy might say to a waiter if he came up and tried to rip his plate before he licked his plate clean. That is a no-no, my friend.
That is a no-no, my friend.
You emailing this show, Lee, is a no-no, my friend.
That is a no-no, my friend.
I'm trying to reset my podcast with Seth Greenberg, and I will do so. But let's go to the phones. I had a take yesterday about Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is approaching the offseason. He had this great, great Instagram post where they show him. It's in tight, and then they pull back, and he's wearing like this cut-off Hawaiian shirt. He's got jorts. He's barefoot. And he's got an RV. And he's going to roll this thing across the country. And he's letting people know, hey, I'm coming. Look out for me. And I said, I can't wait for this guy to get here in SoCal. He's going to end up in SoCal. And I'll be driving around the 10 West looking for him.
Keep it rolling.
With that in mind, apparently this guy is on the 10 West. Let's go to Vance. Vance, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Romy, how you doing?
Good. How about you, Vance?
Great. Hey, I'm on the 10 West. I'm in Louisiana right now. And when you were mentioning about Minshew yesterday, I was down in Tampa on 75 North. I said, well, I got to be able to catch this guy with his mustache, you know, his Ron Jeremy mustache. So I've been looking in every RV since.
And?
And I have not seen him yet.
Mm.
So I see a bunch of old guys driving around. So that's about it.
All right, my man. Keep fighting the good fight, Vance. Stay on it.
Let me know if
you find him. I love that. So he's already on the 10 West. Trucker Nation looking for Gardner Minshew. As I mentioned, that's a really big swing. Knowing what this guy makes, and I'm not sure what he makes with his side hustles, but I know his base. I know his cap number. And he went out and he took a big swing, got himself an RV, and said, this is what I'm doing. You got to check that post. It is so good. Trucker Nation looking for Gardner. I'm not a part of Trucker Nation, but I'm looking for him as well. He's going to ultimately end up out here. Just ride that 10 all the way through Jacksonville to L.A. When we return, Will Brinson is going to help us break it down. Do you want the flight deck's picks? I'm just curious. I'm not mandating it. Even if you want them, it does not mean you'll get them. I'm not going to make the deck do something he doesn't want to do. Like, he's going to get down. I know that. He's a degenerate. He's a degenerate with a sizable dome. But that doesn't mean he wants to come on the air and talk about it. But he will get down.
Cut that meat.
My question is, do you want his picks on air? Do you want to see that gigantic head in the same studio with me? Breaking it down. Will Brinson's got picks and thoughts. He's joining us next. Seth Curry next hour. And I will definitely reset my conversation with Seth Greenberg. It's an all-timer. Right now, I've got a sports update. Here is the latest on this Thursday.
This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Now that I think about it, it's actually a big Carolina day. Telephone call is coming up a little bit later on. First up, we are efforting, and I will find, a senior writer for CBS Sports, the host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast. We consider him a very good friend of the program. He is also the preeminent sports beer analyst and reporter currently living and working and drinking in Raleigh. He got dunked on by LeBron James, believe it or not. The second North Carolina legend on the program today. He is none other than Will Brinson, and he is back. Hey, Boomer, what's up?
What's going on,
Jim? Man, what's up, Will? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about an all North Carolina show today? You got
it's
Torrey
so
Hall,
good. Yeah,
Greensboro with NC State. Me and Raleigh. You got Seth Curry. You're loading up on the old NC today.
Yeah, man, it feels good too. It feels good. And you being the North Carolina legend that you are, let me start right there, Will. It's good to have you back. What do you think of how the Panthers went about conducting their search and then hiring Matt Rhule?
Well, I'll tell you this, Jim. Anytime you take a private plane and land at somebody's house before they get back from their Cabo vacation, help them unload their baggage while they're wearing a Avocados from Mexico t-shirt, and then offer them $70 million to up their family and come to North Carolina and be your coach for the next 7 years, you did a pretty good job. I mean, if that's like David Tepper, when he was at Appaloosa Management, his billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar hedge fund, used to keep, and I don't think he still does this, but he used to keep a literal pair of giant brass balls on his desk. And I would say that adequately, you know, describes his style of management and style of hiring. And I do like the idea that they found this guy in Matt Rhule, who had gone to Temple and fixed a program that was 4-7. Steve Adazio had just left them. Who knows why they hired him after 4-7, but they did. BC did. And then he goes to Baylor. And you take this program that's in absolute shambles, that is at the lowest point that you could possibly be as a school, as a football program, and he gets them to 11 wins and nearly gets them in the playoffs. And I think that sort of CEO mentality, that approach towards delegating responsibility, part motivator, part program builder, part CEO, et cetera, to me, I think that's what is going to work better in today's NFL, as opposed to hiring somebody who's just an X's and O's guru and then saying, hey, figure out how to be a manager on your own. I mean, I like the hiring of Matt Rhule. I think they were aggressive in their pursuit. They didn't want to let him get to the Giants. You beat out an opponent for him. And you give this guy the job security to come in and build a sustainable winner in a place that has seen spurts of winning over the past, you know, couple of decades, but has never had a lengthy, lengthy stretch of great seasons.
He is a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. He is Will Brinson. I agree with you, Will. I love that hire. Let me ask you this. With all the head coaching hires that have been announced this week, Will, are you at all surprised that Josh McDaniels is not one of the guys with a new job?
Extremely surprised. And you know, especially considering, Jim, this is the first time since 2009 that that he's been able to interview without the shackles of planning for a Bill Belichick game plan, right? I mean, you know, he's always been a guy who's been in the mix because, you know, he's Josh McDaniels. He's done a great job. He had some success at Denver before an epic flameout. But at the end of the day, it was tough to interview him because he was planning for the Patriots playoff games. And now he's free to do it. And it's crazy that he got left at the altar. Ironic, too, that he got left at the altar by both the Panthers and the Giants. Never got to interview for either one of them. Panthers hired Matt Rhule. Then, of course, the Giants hired Joe Judge. I would not be surprised at all if Josh McDaniels ended up going to Cleveland. I do think, though, that part of the problem, you know, with what's going on in Cleveland and why Josh McDaniels might not take that job is there is constant disharmony between the front office and power struggles as to who gets Jimmy Haslam's ear. And you can tell. I mean, like, you don't have to have inner workings of that front office and that franchise to understand that there's dysfunction at a management level going on there, and that Jimmy Haslam is, you know, bouncing back and forth on what he thinks. So Bill Belichick and Tom Brady might end up being big winners here because they could land Josh McDaniels back with the Patriots when it seemed like a fait accompli that he was leaving.
We are talking to Will Brinson. All right, Will, what about the matchups this weekend? I know you're all over this. Why don't we start with the Vikings and the 49ers? You had a feeling before the Saints game that Minnesota might be able to not only hang with them, but flat out beat them straight up. What did you see in them that made you think they had that kind of a shot?
Well, I was just wishing that my preseason Super Bowl favorite or my Super Bowl pick would. No.
Right.
Look, I think that what they got Adam Thielen back and they got Dalvin Cook back. And this is a team that, you know, when they have their top end offensive weapons, Jim, they are capable of being as good on offense as anybody in the league. And there's maybe a reason why the Browns haven't hired anyone. They could be waiting out offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski. He's taken a full blown approach towards using play action they have the offensive line to make that work in terms of, a, you know, quote unquote, establishing the run and then taking shots downfield. When you can flood in that Gary Kubiak scheme, when you can flood Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph across the perimeter on bootlegs or Kirk Cousins, it works out really well. Dalvin Cook explosive in the receiving game. I mean, I think he ran as well as anybody in the NFL in terms of just pounding between the tackles this year when he was healthy. And they have all those guys out there. That offense can be really tough to beat. It's going to come down to, can they win the matchup of that offensive line against the 49ers defensive line? And if they can win that matchup, and physically, like straight up, I don't think they can, but if they can scheme it up enough where they get those guys on their heels and can sort of push downhill in the run game and they can set up that play action, I think they can win it. If they do that, they can go to San Francisco and win this game too. And don't sleep on what those edge guys did, Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin. I mean, they put a hurting on Drew Brees, and they beat up a really good offensive line in the Saints. And if they bring that kind of pressure against San Francisco, there's no telling what the ceiling is for this Minnesota team.
Will Brinson joining us. Will, also one more note. I just noticed that Adam Schefter just tweeted that Thielen is now, quote, questionable for the game. He suffered a cut in practice yesterday. Does that change the way you see that matchup at all?
Yeah, the Vikings listed him as questionable, and he said on Good Morning Football this morning that he's doing media rounds, which is kind of weird for a guy who's questionable in the playoffs, but it makes you think he probably will play. He said he's going to do everything he can to get out there. I think Tom Pelissero of NFL Media had video of him sort of limping, walking around practice, not limping, but, you know, not doing a whole lot. I would anticipate they take it easy on him, you know, the next 48 hours. It's going to be tough. I don't think he's going to be out there at maximum speed. And yeah, it does make a difference. He's a difference maker in that scheme, in that offense, because of his route running, his hands, his ability to get open, not just out of pure physical will, but also by utilizing his routes, et cetera. So I think it's a huge difference. They need him out there. They can win without him, but they might need him to be a major decoy. And if he's not out there, I wouldn't be surprised if that line moves from like 6.5 to 7 or maybe 7.5 or 8.
We're talking to Will Brinson. All right, so what about the Titans? They go into Foxborough. They manhandle the Patriots. Will, how different, though, is the challenge that they're going to face this weekend when they go to Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson. So Pro Football Reference, Jim, does their stat, approximate value, which attempts to, you know, cross all positions for all, you know, all seasons and figure out who had the most valuable year. Lamar Jackson, it was released today. Lamar Jackson, 26, which would tie LaDainian Tomlinson as the most valuable season of all time, which is pretty impressive since he only played 15 games. This team is as good a team as we've seen in the last, I don't know, probably since the 07 Patriots. I mean, this Ravens team is incredible. One thing to watch, though, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Pete Prisco pointed out on my podcast, Pick Six Podcast. You can go subscribe and listen to it on Apple Podcasts. Friday's episode will be out. We recorded it on Wednesday. He went back and watched the 2012 Super Bowl, and Dean Pease, who's the current Titans defensive coordinator, then Ravens defensive coordinator, was going up against Greg Roman, then 49ers offensive coordinator, now Ravens offensive coordinator, and who used Colin Kaepernick in the same style system that they used Lamar Jackson. And Pease had Terrell Suggs stand up as an edge rusher on the outside, and he would chip on the tight end, and then he would watch that mesh point and see what they were going to do. So, and it worked out really well. They got up 28-6 in that game. That warrants watching. How will they use Harold Landry? How will they use Rashad Evans? Can Dean Pease cook up a formula the way that he cooked one up against Colin Kaepernick to beat his old team and Lamar Jackson on an offense that is basically runs in a similar fashion? This is a crazy good game for X's and O's purposes. I think the Titans can hang. It's going to be paramount, though, that they not get down early in the first quarter. If they're down 14-0 or something like that, it's a runaway freight train. Lamar and company will kill them, and it'll be over. If they can limit Lamar early, get a touchdown from Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry, and then uncork Derrick Henry downhill, this is a Titans team that can pull off the upset.
Will Brinson joining us. All right, Will, in the first half against Buffalo, Houston could not have looked any worse offensively than they did. But then, of course, everything changed in the second half, and Deshaun Watson bailed them out once again. How much of a chance do you give them against Kansas City on Sunday?
Like 5%. I think the Chiefs are going to slaughter them, Jim. Look, Patrick Mahomes has played as well as anyone. I'll tell you, his last seven games in 2019, were probably the best, I think, seven games of his career. I know statistically it doesn't match up, but you see the way he's mastering Andy Reid's offense. He's in total control. Throw a blizzard down in Kansas City, no problem. We got this. Go up against a good defense, bad defense. Bill Belichick, he doesn't care who it is. He was playing exceptional football. They have all the weapons in place to light up this Houston Texans secondary. They will be able to score at will. Houston won't be able to stop them. And the problem with Bill O'Brien and the way that this Texans team operates is they're sort of like a – I don't know if it's rich man's or poor man's, but it's one of the two version of the Seattle Seahawks, where they like to run with Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson on first and second down. And then when it's third and long or when they're down a bunch of points, they're like, hey, Deshaun, sorry, we sort of screwed up. Could you go fix this with us and do that magic thing where you get sacked but don't get sacked and bomb it down the field and get open? That'd be great. Thanks. Yeah, go do that. And that's not going to work against this Chiefs team. They're too explosive on offense, both in the short passing game to the running backs, as well as, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, I mean, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, they're loaded. And defensively, it's the best Chiefs team that Andy Reid's ever had. This team, they came on like gangbusters. They finished as a top 10 by DVOA defense. And I think that this is probably the future Super Bowl champion if I had to pick right now in the Chiefs.
They are so much better defensively the last several weeks. One last thought. Will, as you pointed out, the Packers, two worst offensive games this year, came against the Chargers and the 49ers. That's significant because those two defenses are led by Pete Carroll proteges. So how do you see that matchup of Seattle's defense and Green Bay's offense going?
Yeah, I it's crazy. Like, they just – Matt LaFleur's offense just struggles against that cover three zone that they like to bring. Now, granted, there is some Jimmy Joe's factor here, right? Like, you got to have the players, and the Chargers have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. 49ers have Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner. They're loaded on the defensive line, right? I do think, though, that Seattle has a better defense than people think. And the way that Jadeveon Clowney played – I know people get all hot and bothered about the hit on Carson Wentz, and that's fine. Clowney played his tail off against the Eagles. And if he comes playing like that, smelling that blood in the water in free agency, you can imagine a situation where Clowney ends up having a monster game. They get after Aaron Rodgers. That team gets behind. I don't think they're built to come back. This is going to be a crazy game that comes down to probably a final possession. But I think the Seahawks are going to go into Green Bay and figure out a way to win, mainly because – that defensive matchup, and Russell Wilson is an unkillable playoff zombie.
I was just about to say, Will, if you can get Russ Wilson +4, I mean, that's always a pretty good thing. Can you see Seattle beating them straight up, though?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and you know what, Jim, it's kind of crazy. Like, if you think about the path for Seattle, they can go to – I mean, Green Bay was a lucky team, too. They're flawed. It's a team that's beatable with what Seattle has, in my opinion. They can go into Seattle and win, and then they might just have to go to San Francisco – to beat a team they already beat in San Francisco, or go back home to beat Minnesota to beat a team in Minnesota they already beat at home to get to the Super Bowl. Can you, imagine the Seahawks team getting to the Super Bowl? It makes no sense. And yet I wouldn't want to count out Russell Wilson, especially in Wisconsin, where he also went to school.
I don't know that the guy's ever looked better or played better than he is right now. I think the guy looks amazing.
And you're not just talking about the hair either, right?
No, that's amazing. I mean, that's amazing. There's some things you can't teach. He is a CBS Sports senior writer. He is the host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast. He's a friend of the program. Hey, Will, were you really dunked on by LeBron? That's true, right?
Yeah, true story.
What was that like? What happened?
You want to hear the quick, dirty story?
Yes, I do.
It was at his high school gym. I think it was a Nike thing. And they had a bunch of short, stocky sports writers playing 5-on-5. We're in the consolation game. And we're doing a center court, about to do the tip thing. And we hear, yo, man, let me get in on that. And we turn around, and it's LeBron. And he was on the team opposite me. And the guy who the point guard dribbling up is, staring at LeBron, telegraphing the pass. I jump the lane, go sprinting down. And I'm about to lay it up, and all of a sudden LeBron just appears in front of me. I kick it out. I'm not trying to, get blocked like that. The next play, I sprint back to try and get on defense, and LeBron's coming full strength. And I step up to try and take a charge, and he literally – jumps over me and does the signature arm cock back thunder slam in his own high school gym as I'm just watching him fly above me.
That's so good, Will. Great job. And I know you established position. I got to get out. That's the end of hour number two. He's Will Brinson. He is a North Carolina legend. Hour number three, straight ahead.